Blog Talk Radio.
Live to see it, friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all. The one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does that amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, doing great. Doing great. Start of another three-show week. And I'm excited about it.
I am too, because we've got three great shows lined up for this week. And, you know, we made one happen. I think we're going to keep making three show weeks happen. I think we're back into that groove now, you know. I don't want to jinx it, but I'm feeling good about it.
We're going to subject the world to our brilliance three times a week instead of our normal.
We're going to gift the world with our brilliance. Thank you very much. You're welcome, world. And you know, no better place to start than with what's a more interesting topic in this universe than the universe itself, and what an amazing and surprising unto this day universe we live in. There's always this notion that perhaps we are maxing out on knowledge, that we've learned everything that we can learn, and certainly you would think that where some of the basic astronomical stuff is concerned, we're closing in, right? That we know more than we've passed the halfway point anyhow on knowledge. But we've got three stories tonight that argue with that, and I think they argue with that fairly successfully. These are pretty much randomly selected, but they all caught my attention for the same reason. They all caught my attention with the fact that here you have scientists who are dedicated to studying these subjects, scratching their heads and saying, "I did not see that coming." So, you know, something comes along, and it's not what they were looking for. And in fact, I think the first one that we've got here, this story called "The Perseus Signal: What We Found Could Not Be Explained by Known Physics." Now, I've been talking quite a bit in recent shows about headlines and how they aren't necessarily written by the people who write the stories, and sometimes they are a little bit, what's the phrase, clickbaity, a little bit linkbaity. They try too hard. They make claims.
They oversell the story a lot of times.
The story, yeah.
You get there and you realize, hey, this is a surprising result, but does it really violate known physics? Well, what do you think, Phil? Looking at the story itself,
in this one, the headline is absolutely accurate, because what they found could not be explained by known physics. It's actually the story broke a while back. I think it was in 2014. It might have been that they actually made this observation, but they were using Chandra, and they were pointing their telescope at the Perseus Cluster. Okay, so for those of you who aren't familiar, that's this big swarm of galaxies way out there, about 250 million light years from Earth, and it's huge. It says in the story, imagine a cloud of gas in which each atom is a whole galaxy. Okay, that's the Perseus Cluster. So when you look at this, you are looking at a piece of space that is very densely packed with galaxies. Okay,
We've heard of stellar nurseries. This is almost a galactic nursery. You know,
you could look at it that way. Yeah. You're looking at a lot of galaxies at the same time. So they're doing spectrometry on it. checking out what's happening in the radio spectrum on a portion of the Perseus Nebula, and they get a reading that doesn't make any sense at all. Something shows up, a big bump, a line in the X-ray spectrum that has no precedent, that they've never seen anything like it before. And, of course, the immediate thought is, well, it's a glitch. It's a misreading.
Almost certainly that was what it should be, right?
Yeah, because, again, there's no accounting for this. You look at this and you go, okay, well, that doesn't show up anywhere on the spectrum as we understand it. There's nothing that we know of that can account for that reading. Now, naturally, those of us who like to imagine things that way, I mean, you start thinking, well, I'm not saying it's aliens, but, you know, if there's no other possible explanation, you know, if there's no other explanation, then it must be aliens. But actually, there is another possible explanation. And so once they verified that this is really happening, once they verified that that reading is accurate, and just to read it out here from the story, a line appeared at 3.56 kilo electron volts. It does not correspond to any known atomic transition. There's nothing going on in the world of physics. There's nothing going on inside atoms that we know of that could possibly account for that. They did the very intelligent thing, which was, well, let's start looking around for this. And sure enough, as they began observing other galaxies, they found the same reading. In fact, they found this reading to be fairly ubiquitous everywhere they looked. Suddenly, they didn't know to look for it before. Now they did. They're looking around the universe, and they're saying, galaxies apparently produce this reading once in a while. There's something going on inside galaxies that, once again, to quote the headline, cannot be explained by known physics. And there is a working explanation, and I think probably a likely explanation for what this is, and that is that they've actually hit upon physical evidence for dark matter. You know, we talk a lot about dark matter. Dark matter is a almost philosophical construct. It's a concept that physicists have come up with to explain portions of how the universe works. You know, it's kind of to fill in the gaps, right? That's why we have the idea of dark matter. Certain models make more sense if there's some matter there that we can't see. And basically, our readings of the universe tell us that there's a lot more mass in the universe than we can observe. So we've come up with this idea of dark matter. But it's observed only through its absence. It's observed only through its, well, we know there should be something there, but we're not seeing anything. And now here, for the first time, we're looking at a reading spike. We're looking at something going on in the spectrum that maps to no known atomic transitions, and we're saying this could be it.
This is not just idle speculation that it might be dark matter. This is I'm having trouble with my words as well. Theoreticians, excuse me, came up
theory
with
guys. Yeah, theory people.
Yeah, the theory guys came up with 60 different types of dark matter, which could explain this. And the list include axions, sterile neutrinos, and moduli dark matter. Okay, so at any rate, they did the math, and here's, you know, if we had dark matter that fell into these into these categories, and 60 different categories, it might produce this thing that couldn't be explained otherwise. So that is pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
I think it's very cool. And stay tuned, because now the story ends talking about in 2015 the Japanese Space Agency launched a new X-ray telescope called Astro H. So a friend, a helper out there for Chandra in the universe, and it's going to be able to do more detailed analysis along the X-ray spectrum than we have been able to do up to this point. They will be taking on this problem, and I think we stand to learn a lot more. Dark matter maybe we're shedding some light on dark matter, put it that way, for the first.
Well, this
first
this
time.
New this new space telescope has a new type of X-ray detector. Presumably, Phil, it will be able to detect in a broader range of the X-ray spectrum, just so it can pick up weird things that they weren't expecting even to be looking for before. And
exactly.
So that's kind of an exciting time to be in astrophysics. Hat tip to the team that dared to believe there might be something other than what their model showed, and started checking up on this weird reading. And who knows? It's always the weird stuff that turns out to be something potentially important. You know, if it just corresponds to what we already know, it's good science, but it doesn't necessarily advance our knowledge.
That's right. The future lies along the line of the weird readings. And now with Astro H, we're going to get more weird readings, I predict. More surprises, yeah. And hey, more stuff we can do podcasts about. So,
and that's the important thing, right?
It works. It works for everybody. Everybody wins here on this deal.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to our second story because I feel like there's more surprises in store. I don't know if you're up on this one. A giant galaxy orbiting our own just appeared out of nowhere. Now here's a headline that really does push it. Okay, because obviously, if a galaxy just appeared out of nowhere, that would have been the hugest story in the history of astronomy. what happened is, it's still pretty big because this is still an amazing thing that's happened, is we have discovered a galaxy we didn't know about orbiting our galaxy. Now there are
and not way, way out there orbiting us, orbiting out in the Milky Way, but relatively close. And not just this little tiny galaxy, but a huge one. So what's the deal? How is it that we hadn't seen it up till now, Phil?
Yeah, well, again, huge is relative. It's huge for the class of galaxies that orbit ours, which are all smaller than ours, right?
Right.
The galaxies that orbit the Milky Way are smaller than the Milky Way. But the thing is, they never saw it because, get this, it's dim.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's like, oh, so not all galaxies are all that bright. And you know what? There's just an awful lot of space out there. And what this story reminds me of so much is the discussion we had just a few months ago about the possibility that there's other planets in the solar system.
Rogue planets. They're not orbiting any star. They're just out there. Well, you know, how are we going to know? Here's the problem with things like that. They're not bright in and of themselves. And we have a problem, Phil, even of seeing all the stars. You know, there's some possibility, Phil, that you know, there are brown dwarfs closer to us than Alpha Centauri.
That's right. They could be orbiting our sun, actually. There could be stellar bodies, if you count a brown dwarf, and I don't know what else you call it. I guess you can call it a planet, orbiting our sun, and we just can't see them.
There could be
planets twice as big as Jupiter orbiting our sun, and we can't see them. So when we had that discussion, that was kind of eye-opening to me. It's like, well, you know, we think we know a lot, but we don't even know our whole solar system yet. We'll know it at some point. And so this one struck me as less surprising. You know, if you haven't been paying attention, you didn't even know that there's extra galaxies orbiting our galaxy.
I find it extremely surprising, Phil. I mean, here we are with telescopes that can look back to within just, you know, a few eons of the Big Bang itself, you know, to the very first light that's produced in the entire universe. That's how far back they're looking through time now, to the first light, okay?
Yes.
And we can do that, but we didn't know that we had this big, huge galaxy, like, you know, relatively next door to us, orbiting the Milky Way.
And you know what I think the difference is? Do you know what I think the difference is there? They knew where to point the telescope to look for the Big Bang, right? It's like they understood the...
well, you point it in any direction. That's the thing.
Well, but you know what I mean? It's like they knew what they were trying to focus in on. When you start talking about the space that surrounds a galaxy, because we know Andromeda's out there. Andromeda's our nearest neighbor, our nearest galactic neighbor, not counting the little ones that orbit us. And it's heading towards us. You know, one of the interesting discoveries that's been made is we're on a collision course with Andromeda, and one day Andromeda's going to swallow us up, which is, would be disturbing if we weren't talking, I guess, billions of years. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen next week or anything like that. But the dynamics between galaxies is something we're just in the very earliest stages of understanding. And from the previous story, we're just now learning how to point the telescope and see all the galaxies. And it seems that anywhere you point a telescope, you see some galaxies, which is kind of cool. The universe is chock full of them. And surprise, surprise, they're not all a gazillion miles away. Some of them are close. In fact, some of them are completely dependent on our galaxy. They're little suburbs of our galaxy that we weren't expecting there. One thing this says to me, above all else, is that we've got a lot more interesting things to discover about our galaxy before we're done.
It also tells me if we thought we had a handle on how many galaxies there are in the universe, roughly, we're probably vastly underestimated it because we didn't know maybe about this potential class of dimmer galaxy.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit eye opening, as you said, the same way learning about these distant planets in our own solar system, or even these orphan planets that we hear about we've heard about recently. We don't know what we don't know yet, but hopefully we'll get a little more of a handle on it. And that's interesting to me that there's so much left that's even relatively close by that we didn't know about. So that's a fascinating.
Well, and I'll tell you something else that's very telling about this. This is, again, the word huge gets used in the headline, and I want to be real careful about that because there are huge galaxies out there in the universe. I mean, Andromeda is bigger than us, but there's galaxies way bigger than Andromeda. This is, compared to the Milky Way, is a small galaxy, but it's the fourth biggest of all the little galaxies that orbit us, okay? So,
yeah.
You start to get in your mind this pretty complex system. You start to picture our galaxy as kind of like the solar system. There's the center of it, which is the sun, or the Milky Way in this case, and then the planets orbit the sun, and these little sub-galaxies orbit the Milky Way. Well, this is the fourth biggest one, but it's also one of the dimmest galaxies that's ever been discovered. And to me, that says a couple of things, potentially. It says, for one thing, we've got more galaxies orbiting ours to discover, I would almost betcha. And it says that we've just got a lot more to see out in the universe because we didn't know they could get that dim. I mean, if we can't, if we don't detect one that's this close because it's dim, think about, as you were saying, how many more must be out there, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, we were talking about dark matter. I mean, in the previous story, I think maybe dark matter is just a bunch of dim galaxies. Maybe that accounts for an awful lot of the...
Perhaps it could. Perhaps it could. Part of it, anyway.
The missing mass in the universe. But it's great fun. Anytime you find a new planet, you find a new galaxy, it's just like... the universe is a little less lonely. We know it's vast, and we know that the spaces in between bodies are unimaginable, incalculable. But it's just, it's nice every time the family grows a little bit. Every time we find a new planet, every time we find a new galaxy that we're connected to. I don't know. I get a warm, fuzzy feeling. Don't you?
Absolutely.
And, we'll keep finding the bright ones easily. I hope they keep looking, and we'll see what else can be discovered in the way of unexpected.
And looking back to our first story, we're now going to start looking, obviously, in the X-ray spectrum for these new signals, that they were looking at before. I suspect the optics guys will start looking for these dimmer galaxies, too. So that's it's exciting.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a great story, and
a big
surprise. Okay, we've got one more surprise left, and I guess in a way this is not as big as the other two, but its impact is just so much more profound. Oh, you know what? I didn't want to skip. One thing we're very fortunate about is that our galaxy turns out not to be one of these. I've provided a link here. One of these Death Star galaxies. This story actually goes back to the year 2007, but that was a surprise at the time. And I recommend everyone just Google the phrase Death Star black hole. The Death Star black hole is this black hole that's shooting this beam of radiation at a neighboring galaxy. The galaxy is close to it. It's only about 20,000 light years away. And you've got to look at the pictures to really get a feel for this, but it's very evocative actually of the whole Star Wars picture. You've got this black hole. It's sucking in matter at an enormous rate, and in fact, it's at the center of a its own galaxy, which apparently at one point had absorbed another galaxy in the same way that Andromeda is going to get us. So it's got a lot of matter and energy, a lot of stuff it's sucking in, and it's shooting it all out in the form of this plasma beam, and it's bombarding this poor, innocent other galaxy to probably devastating results, probably not something to laugh about, devastating results if there is or was at one time anything living there. Luckily, our newly discovered nearby galaxy isn't nearly as dangerous as that one, so we can take some comfort there, can't we?
Absolutely. That's and it's what we're looking at here in this story is an X-ray image, and it looks pretty violent. What one galaxy is doing to the other. So yeah, we can be thankful that's not the case.
Pretty harsh that a natural phenomenon could so closely map what happens in Star Wars there. And if you Google it, there's a video, one of the astronomy shows on Discovery or one of the science channels actually did a show about this, and they've got some really cool graphics to go with it. It's quite interesting. I recommend checking it out if you're at all interested in that kind of thing. Okay, so enough about the Death Star galaxy. I didn't want to lose that. Okay, so here we go. Here's our final story. And as I was saying, I don't know, Stephen, is this the biggest one or not as significant? What do you think?
Well, when you posted this on Facebook, you know, of course, the title of the article is "The Universe Will End Much Sooner Than Previously Thought." And so, being the wise guy that I am, I had to respond, "Dang it, everything happens to me."
Exactly. Anyway. Yeah. Why does everything have to happen to Stephen? Darn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, don't lose hope or despair. This is instead of it being, you know, trillions of years in the future when the universe will end, it'll be, you know, slightly less than that, but it's
fewer trillion, yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. So it's you know, we still have time, is what I'm trying to say, and don't despair. But it's interesting because in part because the universe, the reason this study showed the universe will end sooner than we thought is that the universe is expanding faster than we realized before, and when everything just completely separates out and it reaches sort of an even temperature throughout the universe, time effectively stops. I mean, there's nothing that, you know, the clock has wound down, there's nothing left going on. And that's what they're basing this on, is this new study that shows it'll happen sooner than we realized it before. So,
yeah, I mean, they're saying 8% sooner. And again, we're talking about 8% out of unimaginable epochs of time.
Timelines.
It's hard to get your head around it. But one of the things that kind of ties this into the other two topics here this evening is, you know, what's causing the faster than expected expansion? Well, one of the theories is dark matter. So once again, we come back to whether it's exotic matter producing these strange X-rays or whether it's dim galaxies that we just haven't seen yet. There's a lot of stuff in the universe undiscovered, and it's definitely having an impact on what happens in the universe. You know, there's not a lot of point in worrying over much about the end of the universe, but it makes me wonder if they can be 8% off, could they be 80% off in terms of when the universe, you know what I'm saying? Is it possible that they could be misreading it that badly? Even if they are, we're still talking about an unimaginable amount of time by the human scale. There's nothing for us to worry about, right? I think something will get you before the end of the universe does, right?
Phil, you and I, this we will not end because the universe ends. Our stories will end before this. So maybe, we don't worry about this. But it's fascinating what we don't know.
I even wonder, though, is it possible that they could be off so far that it could happen? I mean, it couldn't just happen tomorrow, right? Because we're already seeing things that happened millions of years ago when we look up in the sky and it's not happening there. So, right? So the universe couldn't, by any means we know of, just end all at once. I'm just trying to put people's fears, you know, allay people's fears here.
I think we're okay.
Nothing to worry about there. What do you think, Stephen, in terms of exciting, mysterious discoveries? You think we've got a lot more of these? They're occurring more frequently these days. What do you think?
Yeah, and you know, like every other branch of knowledge, we it seems like there's an exponential growth in what we learn all the time. So more we learn more and more, faster and faster, and that's awesome. And you know, Higgs boson confirmed here very recently, and you know that pushes us closer to the theory of everything that the physicists have been after forever. Well, I'll say forever, the last 100 years, and that's and you know, and there's guys working on exotic things like even a type of warp drive. So I mean, lots and lots left to learn. It's an exciting time to watch these things develop, and that's so, yeah.
You think about the lessons that it, you know, the discoveries that have been made just in the lifetime of this show, just since we've been doing the World Transformed or Fast Forward Radio. When we started doing this show, astronomers didn't know for sure. They suspected maybe, but nobody knew that most stars, in fact, as far as we can tell, all stars have planets. Right?
Yeah.
That was not a known thing.
It's part of the star making. As far as the models are now.
Yeah.
Astronomers will tell you that the models seem to indicate that, you know, when a star forms, planets form, and it's just the way it is, and it can't be avoided. That's something that that kind of nailed down in the lifetime of this and the predecessor show. So
yeah.
That's pretty huge. That's a huge
discovery about the universe to have made in memory. You know,
probably
as well. We've talked about the fact that it used to be a big deal when they found planets, and now nobody can get excited about it. It's only the really weird ones that even get any attention.
Any headlines, yeah.
Yeah. Or when they do a flyby of Pluto and we can see things we haven't seen before, and it's interesting that way. But otherwise, it's like, yeah, another planet. It's happening so fast that we can't even be surprised by it anymore. And that might be the only thing that makes the universe stop surprising us is just that we reach a saturation point of so many unexpected things happening. We're just like, well, you know, whatever. Okay, here's another one. We're ready for it, whatever it might be. But I tend to agree with you. I think that it does seem to be speeding up, and I think we're gonna witness a lot more of these in the years to come. A lot more unexpected results, a lot more readings that can't be accounted for, and probably just dark matter showing up in a lot of additional instances, no doubt.
Yeah. Now that we kind of have an idea of what to look for, I completely agree.
Yeah. So we've got that to look forward to, and you know what else we got to look forward to, Stephen, is two more big shows this week. Well, it's been fun talking about Mysteries of the Universe with you this week, and look forward to picking this up on Wednesday with an all-new show.
Excellent. Can't wait.
All right. Well, thank you all for being with us, and until next time, live to see it.